Amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, known as ALS, is a cruel disease, a progressive degeneration of the brain and spinal cord that leads to loss of muscular control and death. As of now, it has no cure. The search for a cure is a life's work for Fred Fisher, president and CEO of the ALS Association. He's in Honolulu for the Hawaii ALS Walk this Saturday, and he's with us in our studio. Fred, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a life's work for you, hasn't it?
It's been a long time. I've been through this long enough to see really the dark ages of ALS, where there was very little reason for hope, to today, where there's more reason than ever to think we're going to have an effective treatment and potentially a cure very soon.
What gives us reason to hope?
Well, technology is really catching up with the disease, and so we have the ability now to understand the disease in ways we didn't have, and we have technologies that help us create models of the disease in a dish. We don't have to rely just on mouse models or worms or other things where we create animal models of the disease. We can now create human models of ALS in a dish by converting people's skin cells into stem cells and watching their ALS progress.
What are the areas of study that are most productive at this point?
Well, the ALS Association is pursuing a worldwide effort. We're looking at small molecules, the typical drugs that people would take through a pill or injection. We're looking at gene therapies. There are now two potential therapies targeting specific genes that cause ALS that essentially silence the disease and eliminate it from a person that's been living with it. Stem cell therapies, there are now two clinical trials going on that are looking at how stem cell therapy might actually stop or reverse the progression of the disease.
How is it diagnosed?
So ALS is what's called a rule-out disorder, which means you go to a neurologist with these symptoms. It could be with a dropped foot, or you're having trouble grasping something, or your speech is starting to slur. And they're looking for stroke. They're looking for other neurodegenerative issues that are easily recognizable and potentially more easily able to treat. And once they rule everything else out, they're left with ALS.
They have that guideline in medicine: when you hear hoofbeats, think horses, not zebras. You go for the most common possibility, and it looks as if loss of muscular control is the trigger.
That's right, but it can show up in breathing. It can show up in speech. There are people who their employers think they're showing up to work drunk, and that's the first symptom expression. It can be a trip and a fall. So we don't have necessarily horse hooves. We've got a lot of different symptom expression. That's part of what's so complicated about diagnosing the disease and treating the disease, is that it doesn't express itself the same way in a group of people, and it doesn't progress in the same way in a group of people, and it doesn't even progress at the same rate in a group of people. And that in particular makes clinical trials very challenging for ALS.
Yeah, I could certainly see how. How long does it, from the time you're diagnosed, how long do you have?
So the short answer is we don't know. There are people who've been living with ALS for longer than I've been working for the ALS Association, so more than 14 years. I know people who've been living with ALS for 30 years. The American Medical Association recognizes ALS as a chronic disease. There are also people who die within 6 months of being diagnosed. On average, it's 2 to 5 years from diagnosis to death, which is why we want to get people diagnosed very quickly, and we want to give them access to our multidisciplinary model of care very quickly, because it is the only thing that's proven to help people live meaningfully longer and better.
Whenever a deadly disease like this moves as quickly as it does, it tends to cause a kind of panic in its patients, which can lead them to search for what might politely be called alternative therapies.
That's true. There's a tremendous amount of desperation and urgency, which my staff and I try to match in terms of searching for a cure and getting people access to the help they need. But we often can't be the obstacle to their pursuit, their grasp at unrealistic hope. And the unfortunate thing is there are people in the world who are ready to take advantage of that. So I talk to a lot of people that say, hey, I heard about this stem cell therapy in Eastern Europe. What do you think? And my answer is there's no evidence that that works. If it did, we'd know about it, and we'd be bringing it here immediately. But it doesn't stop people from spending tens of thousands of dollars in chasing that when they're going to need that money to underwrite the cost of their care.
It puts you in an awkward position warning people against quackery, of which there's plenty out there, without discouraging people from trying to get well.
That's exactly right. And so human nature is a complicated and interesting thing, and it is not for me to get in the way of anyone's self-determination, but it is for me to help people understand what's their best option, what are the best choices, what's the best course of action that we know of, and then you're free to make the decision.
We've heard with other conditions that research is sometimes driven by what the audience for the research is, how many people will be affected, how much money is worth it for industries and academic institutions to pursue the search for a cure. Is the motivation there for ALS?
This is actually where ALS has some advantages. In the neurodegenerative disease space, which includes Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, Huntington's, frontal temporal dementia, ALS is the one that researchers are most interested in, most excited about on some level, because unlike those other diseases, you can watch ALS progress pretty quickly, which makes it possible for you to test drugs on people and see if they're working. With diseases that progress much more slowly, like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, that have much bigger patient populations, by the way, it's very hard to detect a signal. In a disease where you don't have a biomarker, you don't have a way to say, oh, this drug is hitting that target, when you don't have that in ALS for the most part, all you have is the ability to watch symptom expression. And you can watch it continue, you can watch it speed up, you can watch it slow down. And that's how clinical trials are conducted. And so ALS, being a disease that moves quickly, you can detect whether or not a drug is working quickly. And so scientists and drug companies are very interested in ALS because they figure that if they unlock the key to ALS, they're going to unlock the keys to Parkinson's, Huntington's, Alzheimer's, and the other neurodegenerative diseases.
That would be a fantastic advance in medicine, wouldn't it, Fred?
It'll be amazing, and it's part of why this work is so gratifying. The people who are living with ALS are amazing. And we are doing pioneering work. We are doing change the world work. And we are going to find something that makes an enormous difference, not just for people living with ALS, but we're going to be making breakthroughs in neurodegenerative disease research, which is among the fastest growing disease segments there is. These neurodegenerative diseases now make up the fifth leading cause of death in the country. And so this is a big space. It's a big problem, and it's exciting to be part of it.
Thanks very much for being with us, Fred.
Thank you.
Fred Fisher is the president and CEO of the ALS Association here in Hawaii for the Walk to Defeat ALS this Saturday, starting at Kapi'olani Park at 9:30 a.m. You can find details on our website, hawaiipublicradio.org.